the numbers that we have today, but I wouldn't. The reason is because after this message tonight, something will charge up your spirits. I'm telling you. You will think you heard something last week about the prophetic office. That evangelistic grace that you have been running away from suddenly will enter your spirit, and you will enter the streets like a madman, hunting souls, hunting souls. War. So with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms. With thee will I destroy kingdoms. The horses and the chariots will fall for thy sake. Timothy chapter 5, 4 verse 5.
Oh, you are worrying about your iniquities. Don't worry. Jesus has paid for it.
You are troubled about your circumstances. Don't worry, Jesus has done it. Jesus died on the cross so that you no longer see death. So man and God were in conflict until Jesus died. So when Jesus died, Jesus became the solution to the problem of mankind and God. Are you following? So that you will understand the work of an evangelist. You will understand his burdens, his pains, his groanings, his tears. So that men are perishing in their iniquities, in their sins. But Jesus has paid the price already, but they do not know. They need someone to tell them. And that's why we are going to the book of Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I hope, thank you, those of you that are writing. You are showing how you are wise. Romans 10, verse 13. Where is the reader? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, stand, just stand. Now, look at this solution. That before now, before this time, men were in conflict with God and they don't even have the authority to call the name of the Lord. But as at this time, it was said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord as Savior shall be what? Shall be saved. So you mean all the problems I caused in the past, all the sins I did in the past, if I cannot call upon the name of the Lord, I will be saved? You say yes. Wow. Is that good news or bad news? To somebody who is in conflict with God, or you are currently with your supervisor, and your supervisor says, get out of this place. Do you know that all through the day, all through the week, you'll be so worried? But if somebody comes and says, the supervisor said, come, he has forgiven you, what will you do? You'll be happy. And that is what? Good news. Is that correct? So the concept of the gospel, actually the word gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L, is from the word good spell, which means good news. In other words, in the original rendition, it means glad tidings. Glad tidings, good news, good spell. That means somebody bringing you a news that you have been anticipating, that you want to hear. So when you hear that, Jesus has paid for my sin, I no longer have to die. Because originally, the wages of sin is what? That he that sinned, in the book of Ezekiel, he said the soul that sinned shall what? Shall die. So you that sin will die. But now, having Jesus died for us means that death no longer have power over us. Is that good news or bad news? So the evangelist, so in the book of Isaiah 60 verse 61, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to do what? To preach the gospel unto the what? Unto the poor. To give them a good news. Let them hear something sweet. That you are. What is the good news to the poor? Physically poor person, what is good news to him? Is the arrival of money, right? Poor in spirit and all of that. What is the good news? Poor in this relationship with God. A good news is that there is a settlement, that now everything between him and God is okay. Do you understand that? So he said, he has anointed me to preach good news, not bad news. So the good news is that Jesus died and rose again on the third day. And he was raised up, he ascended up unto God for us. And he's now seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for us every day. So the sinner that is deep in iniquity hears this word from a messenger that was sent to come and deliver that news to him. And what happens? He rejoices. Oh, my sins have been paid. The blood of Jesus set me free from sin and sorrow. So the moment he hears that, he begins to sing. He's happy that the blood of done something for me. Right? So he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But now, if you don't know that something has been made available for you, can you maximize it? Can you enjoy it? For example, you are hungry. You are hungry, oh. Then suddenly, and then your food has been kept in the room, somewhere in the room for you. And you did not know. But it was yours. So you were just crying and crying. Oh, I'm hungry. Oh, I'm hungry. And the food is here in you. Are you getting me? As long as you don't know that something is there for you, you are going to continue suffering. Until someone comes back and tell you, why are you crying? There's food here. Look at it. What happens now? That is what? Good news. Read the next verse. How then shall they call on him? Call upon him whom they have not what? Believed. So Paul is asking, now since whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, how can they call upon him if they don't believe him? Right? How can they call? Because you have to first believe. John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved his son that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting. And Jesus went further to say, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man will be lifted, right? That whosoever shall look shall be saved. But how can they look if they don't believe? How shall they call upon the name of the Lord if they don't believe in him? Now, what is the next question? How shall they now believe in the person they have never heard of? Can you see? So, the former problem was, do they believe? Now you say no. Then the next question is, okay, how can they believe if they have not heard about it? Are you getting me? How can they believe the gospel that if they just call upon the name of the Lord, they will be there? How can they even believe it if they have not heard about it? So they need to hear, for faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So they need to hear before they believe. Next problem is what? How shall they hear without a what? Without a preacher. Another translation said, how shall they hear if no one? Right? If no one goes to tell them, how shall they hear about this gospel if nobody goes to tell them about it? How can they believe if they have not heard? How can they hear if nobody tells them? If there's no preacher, that is the work of an evangelist. That is the role the evangelist comes in. Now, the evangelist is a herald. A herald is an announcer. Herald, the word herald. H-E-R-A-L-D. A herald is an announcer of good news, of glad tidings. Like town criers, they are announcers of message from the king. So, in order for people to believe and receive him, they need to hear. But in order for them to hear, they need a preacher. How can people know that Jesus can heal without a preacher preaching it to them? How can people know that Jesus can save without a preacher going to preach to them? The body of an evangelist. So the evangelist knows that the world will perish unless he goes as a preacher. So the word evangelist comes from the word euangelion. Other people said evangelion, but in the Greek it's called Euangelion. 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 Meaning. A what? Meaning an evangelist. Somebody who is sent with a message. Now listen, most of the things we'll talk about today have similarities between the apostle and the evangelist. So you may likely confuse them for the two. But I'm going to give you a difference between an evangelist and an apostle. Okay? So if I said that the Greek word is what? Euangelion, meaning what? Evangelist. In the English visualized, evangelist, meaning someone, preacher of good news, announcer of glad tidings. That's the meaning. Preacher of good news, announcer of glad tidings. Announcer of glad tidings. Now, in the Old Testament, there have always been announcers. But in the Old Testament, the office of the evangelist was back. There was not the office of an evangelist, because prophets were the most pronounced office in those days, and teachers. So only what we had was that the prophet served as the evangelist at that time. So anytime there is a word from the Lord, it is the prophet that goes to announce it, to tell the people, this is what the Lord says. But now, an evangelist carries a specific message. And the message of an evangelist is nothing less than Jesus is Lord and Savior. So he goes to tell people that your sin has been paid for. He goes to tell people that the price for your iniquity has been settled. He goes to tell people, you do no longer need to wail and mourn for nothing. Jesus has died for you. His message is repent and be saved. Repent and be converted. That's his only message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Continue. How shall they preach except they are sent? Is that one? Now. Okay, continue that verse. Let me just. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that did what? That preach the gospel of peace. Yes, and bring glad tidings of what? Of good things. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the good news, the gospel of peace. So the feet of every evangelist, although dusty, right? Although dusty, the Bible says his feet are what? Beautiful. I want you to see some things tonight. As we move further, bodies will begin to enter you. Alright? Now, Revelation 15, 14 verse 20. 14 verse 15. Revelations. And I look, and behold, a white cloud. Yes. Like unto the Son of Man, that's Jesus here now. He had on his head a what? A golden crown. What is he holding in his hands? A sharp sickle. Yes. Trust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come. For the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the ground, trust in the sickle on the earth. And the earth was ripe. Thank you. Now let me read the next. next one. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven. He also, having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar. He had power over fire. Right? Cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. Now, who knows the meaning of a sickle? Sickle. How's that calling God? No, Jay? That is, you see, that kind of sharp knife that is bent. It is. Enter. Don't worry, don't be distracted. It is that kind of knife that is bent. It is only used on rice farms, right? And some other similar plants like that, maybe wheat or something. So he said, trust in thy sickle, for the earth is ripe already. The earth is ripe already, and it's ready to be harvested. How can you understand this scripture? Now let's go to John chapter 4, verse 33. Now this is where we stop in reading scriptures. Then we go further. John chapter 4, verse 33. Who is there? Therefore, said the disciples. Okay, waiting to be harvested. That harvesters are the ones that are needed you are a reaper. A reaper is the man that learns to trust in his sickle to harvest the grain. So this is what Jesus said. He said, and he that reapeth receiveth wages. He that goes in to reap in the fields, he is paid. He has reward for what he is doing. And gathereth fruit unto eternal life, so that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. I'm going to show you in this few minutes. There are categories of people in the evangelistic clan called the sowers and the reapers. Listen, you will need to understand that what God is doing in this age and time is peculiar and is not separate from what he has been doing in ages past. Jesus said to them further in this scripture, and hearing is the saying that is true. One soweth, and another does what? Another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestow no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. I will show you how cities open up to God. Some of you think that Zokoriko just at once started listening to God like that. No. There were people that came and sowed seeds unto eternal life. They died trying to preach, and they died. Some people did not receive the gospel. Some killed them because of what they were trying to do. Some people were slain in this very land for the name of the Lord. Kaduna itself, Nigeria itself, when the gospel came in, many people died for it. Some people sold, and another reaped. And I will show you that we are a generation. We are the generation of them that are the reapers. All you will need to understand is how to put in your sickle. Listen, whether as a sinker like Theophilus, when you start to sink, you will reap souls. Whether it is as a preacher, or the lost. They understand the evangelist understands the ultimate faith that awaits anybody that is not saved. Any evangelist must know that anybody that is not born again will end up in the pit of hell. Will end up in the burning sulfur, in the lake of fire, where the Bible says that their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. So anytime the evangelist sits down, he thinks about the people that are going into hell every second. Right now, as we are sitting down in church, men are entering hell in their droves. In their millions, as they are dying from the hospital, they go straight into hell. As they are dying from an accident, they go straight to hell. Some are dying in church, they go straight to hell. Some on the road, kidnappers kill them. From there, they go straight to hell. The evangelist knows that any soul that is not saved will be cast into the lake of fire. So something drives him. Anytime he sits down to think, anytime he sleeps in the night, he wakes up, all he sees is men trooping into hell. The body touches him to wake up, to pray, to wake up, to fast, to wake up and enter the streets to preach, so that men will not enter hell. And anyone that was not written in the book of life is thrown into the lake of fire. So the evangelist knows, I must get more men for their names to be written in the book of life, so that they are not cast into the lake of fire. Every evangelist, whether as a a singer, you need to understand that you're a singer doesn't cancel the fact that you can have, that you have a ministry of reconciliation. Are you aware that anytime you pick up the mic, there is somebody in the crowd that is about to go to hell? Jesus said, do not fear him that can only kill your body, but fear him that is able to kill your body and your soul in hell. He said, where their worm dieth not and their fire is not quenched. So in the lake of fire, what you have there is not only fire. There are worms that don't die. Imagine if you have a worm in your leg and it's moving in your leg. How are you feeling it? Not to talk of worms all over your face. And in hell, listen, in hell, you will see people, worms are eating their faces, worms are eating their lips, their stomach, their leg, everywhere worms. Apart from the worms, there is fire burning them. It's written in scriptures. It says some of them have been fed with gravels, with stones. Punishment here and there. So every unsaved person is a candidate of the lake of fire. So every time the evangelist is inside his office, he gets uncomfortable. Anybody that comes in, he tends to ask the person, my brother, are you saved? Are you born again? Is your name written in the book of life? I know you came to buy something, but I have you given your soul to Jesus? For what shall it profit to a man when he gains the whole world and loses his soul in hell? The evangelist is filled with that body. He knows that men are descending into hell. Archbishop Benson in Alta, when he entered Bible school, as he's sitting down, he's lost in the visions of hell. He's seeing Nigerians, seeing Africans, seeing whites drooping into hell. So anytime he sits down, he starts crying. One day he picked up his bag and left the school. I am going to the mission field. Man must not go to hell while I am alive. So listen, when an evangelist is praying, he's not praying for a car. Souls, souls, souls. While you are thinking of heartbreak from your boyfriend, an evangelist is thinking of hearts, of souls, of souls. While your own heartbeat is beating, the evangelist is hearing souls, 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 souls. One evangelist was on his dying bed. And he said, they asked him, what is your last wishes? One more soul. Just one. One more. I want to win one more souls. I'm not here to play games. I'm not here to play jokes. So an evangelist, when he's on Facebook, he's not thinking of chatting nonsense. He's thinking of any soul that he can win. Evangelist, a lady, when you are posting your picture, you are not trying to show your shape or your whatever. You are targeting souls. When other ladies are trying to post like this and like that so that they can attract men, all you are thinking is how to attract men to God so that they don't end up in the pit of hell. In any class of people, among youths, you are looking at them playing football. On the TV, you are seeing them. You are seeing Messi. You are seeing Ronaldo. You are thinking, is this person saved? Is he born again? The evangelist doesn't have name written in the book of life. Sister, I know men are running trooping to you, but it's your name in this book of life. Oh, I know you have money, but please, are you saved? Are you saved? Student, he looks at his lecturer. His lecturer is teaching. All he's thinking about, are you saved? Or you are full of grammars? Are you saved? Or you are filled with large vocabularies?
For his labor. Let me tell you, many people were adamant
heart and so stiff and stubborn to the gospel. There was nobody listening to him nor paying attention to him. Only few persons gave heed to the things he was saying. For years, they believed his God stayed there. He was praying. He was praying. He was praying and laboring for souls. Until one day. So, before he died, he now wrote in his diary, he said, a day is coming when God will send reapers that will come and reap in the place where we have sown, the souls we have not seen, that they will see it. Are you getting what I'm saying? The labors, that's where Nigerian prayer that says, the labors of our heroes past shall never be vain. We are not talking about their Buhari and their Abacha. In this prayer, we are talking about men that labored and laid their lives for the gospel. My brother, there were people who died for this thing you believe in today. My sister, some people lost their life in order to see that you get born again. In case you don't know, he said people are coming, that a harvest is going to be seen, so that has never been seen before in the history of Christianity. That men will come to Christ in their numbers, that some will just come and a little work results. Are you getting what I'm saying? So this man came, he labored, he groaned, he prayed. In Nigeria, people also came, they labored, they groaned, they prayed, they fasted. So in their day, some of them were killed. Some of them were eating raw like meat. They came, they sowed the seeds. They sowed the seed, just having one convert here and there, one convert here and there. Because many of them at that time, they were deep in occultism, they were deep in diabolic things, they were deep in idol worship. So when you bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus and say, I came to preach Jesus, who are you first? You see, now you can organize program and put banner and put your poster, and people will just come. They are coming. Already they know this is something that has to do with the gospel. Do you understand? So already, somebody has laid the foundation already and has told them about Jesus. So it means you are not the first. Somebody sowed. You are only coming to do what? To reap. Oh, we are men like Charles Finney. Men like Oswald J. Smith, John Huss, John Knox. John Knox entered into Scotland and said, Lord, give me Scotland. Anytime John Knox enters a place, he is scavenging for souls. Who in this place is not born again? He enters a city, he beats it dead. All he does is to get somebody to be saved. Charles Finney, men like Charles Finney, he was a powerful evangelist of the 17th century, of the 18th century. Charles Finney, before he goes into a place to preach, he sent some people ahead. Those are men that go to intercede, to pray, to sow seed, to water the ground. When he enters there, men begin to weep and cry. Just looking at his eyes, a fire. But these same gods, even at their time, they were reapers. They were reapers, and at the same time, they were sowers, because other people have also sowed. People like Polycarp, people like Irenaeus, people like John, James, Paul, Peter, and all of these people enter into places. They did not see souls like in the house of Saul, but they did the groundwork. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They did not see men coming in their millions like Evangelist Ryan Ponke, who gathered more than 3 million people in Lagos in one crusade. 3 million people gathered. Has he been seen before in the history of the world? Was a reaper. arrived in 1975. In 1975, 170,000 people for the first time gathered. Even in the book of Acts, it was 3,000 people first, then 5,000, then it increased to 8,000. There was nothing more than that number. What evangelist there, Boke came as an evangelist. He trusted his sickle in particular country, and he reached for the first time 170,000 people gathered in the same place who gave their lives to Christ. He was a reaper, and when he finishes race, he by that time had already won 78 million souls for Christ. The crusade he did in Kaduna years ago, those of you that heard the history, you those of you that does know it, I did not see it, I heard it. But many people that went there for the first time in their lives, they were seeing people in such numbers. Benny Hinn, as an evangelist, will enter into a place and trust in his sickle. The harvest is ready. They don't take advantage at all. I mean, they don't take them. For granted, that was my thing. Any time, any opportunity they see, they trust in the sickle for a harvest. So, somebody like a drink woman will just be in a room. All she's thinking about is the souls. As a young lady, she knew she was just a lady for souls. While other ladies are thinking about the foundation they will apply on their faces, other ladies are thinking about the makeups and the shoes and the skirt and the trousers they will wear, she's thinking a souls. So daily she locks up herself and she's praying, and she didn't just go for prayer. She entered into the harvest field and thrust in her sickle in order to get the harvest. Young lady, are you listening to me or you are doing something else? It is you I'm talking to tonight. The people we talk about, Amy Semple McPherson, in those days, this lady, with the first story when I read about her, was that one day, when the body came upon her, she took up a chair like this, entered on the street, put it up as a lady on the street. She stood up. As a girl, she stood up like this and began to motion of people. People started coming, what are you doing like this? The moment they gathered a little, started preaching. And before you know it, the hundreds of people that gathered in that place, and that was how her ministry shut up. Began to lay tents here and there, holding meetings, doing a lot of things. Another evangelist I heard about, this guy will enter into a place. If he goes, he will just go and pretend as if he's mad. Do some crazy things, and people will gather and be looking at him. After they gather, then he will stand up. Pick up the sickle. Come on now. Build a sword. Bring out souls. The souls that are there, he brings out his sword, which is the word of God, and preaches to them. This is who I am. I am sent of God to tell you tonight that if you are not saved, you will perish. Repent and be converted so that your sins may be forgiven. And may we cry. A man called Evan Roberts of the Welsh Revival, that pioneered the Welsh Revival, that in the period of 5 months, 100,000 people gathered in Wales. This guy will just lock up himself and body for souls. Bend us, O God. begged off for God. He stood up in the platform of a man called Seth Joshua. In those days, the man was just like a pastor, pastoring a little congregation. And he went and stood up on that podium. Every day he goes, he's crying, bend us, oh God. Bend us, oh God. Bend our will. He cries day and night. Day and night he cries. In a matter of days, people began to gather. Gather around him. And every night, the whole revival meetings that lasted up to 3 a.m. From 4 p.m., they read 3 a.m. in the morning. Some of you here, you read three hours, you're already complaining. It's late. The people that pioneered revival in those days, they were not considering time at all. They were considering their eternity. I know I am taking time on earth, but how about my eternity? So they stayed there and pray their bodies out until God begins to beg hearts, until God begins to touch souls here and there. Many of them began to enter the streets and talking to men about Jesus. The burden of an evangelist is not money, it's not fame, it's not car. All he wants is that souls be saved. I have sent thee to reap where others have labored. So Charles Finney labored for us. Polycarp labored for us. John the Beloved labored for us so that we will enter into their harvest. We are the harvesters. It is in our generation that the evangelists need to rise as reapers of the harvest. They need to trust in their sickles. He said, he that sat upon the throne. It's time for you to rise up from your throne as an evangelist and trust in the sickle. Bring out souls from the pits of hell. For the evangelist, anything that beats the heart of God is what beats his heart. God's heart beats is his heart beats. Anything that pains God is what pains an evangelist. And what pains God more is that God is not happy with the death of a sinner. Because God knows that a sinner dying, whether you die from a kidnapper, or you die from the hospital, or you die from a fire outbreak, it doesn't matter how you die, whether it is a witch that kills you, if you die as a sinner, you are going straight to hell. So the evangelist doesn't take chances. He just believes that everybody is my mission work. Everybody is my mission field. Are you saved, my brother? Are you saved, my sister? Evangelist in his class, when he sits down, he looks at his classmate. Sir, I know we are friends, but are you saved? I know we attend the same church, but are you truly born again? He wants to see souls saved. While you are thinking about your girlfriend or thinking about how to woo one girl, an evangelist thinking about how to win the heart of men for God. While you are thinking of how to win the heart of one man that you are eyeing, an evangelist, she's thinking about how many souls am I going to win today. While you are concerned about how many guys have asked you out, the evangelist woman, she's thinking about how many guys you have asked out for Christ. What are the bodies of your heart, oh evangelist? What are the bodies of your heart, oh thou that call thyself a revivalist? We saw the rise of men like William Branham, like Allen. A.A. Allen, as a drunkard, after he got saved, his soul was consumed by nothing but souls, such that the miracles they performed. Listen, one of the powerful gifts that the evangelist work with is the workings of miracles and signs and wonders. is predominant, is normal to an evangelist. Do you know why? Because that is the most effective tool in evangelism. So he goes into a place, he wants to do anything just to win a heart. If he preach, he wants to do something that will convince your heart. So it has to be a sign and a wonder that you perform that will attract your attention, so that he will want to make you to see the burning bush for you to get attracted. Then he can give you the message. For it was only when Moses saw the burning bush that he was attracted to come. And when he came, then God started speaking. So for the evangelist, he made sure that the gift of signs and wonders is at work, so that when he performs a miracle or any sign, people will draw closer and say, who is this? So for the evangelist, his signs and wonders are more pronounced than even, because most of the things that an evangelist say will end up in, are you born again? Every verse, for you to know, an evangelist, every verse that an evangelist finished preaching, even if he's preaching from Leviticus or from Numbers, it will end, he will find a way to corner it to, are you born again? To repent, even if it's from Jacob begat Joseph, Esau begat, you understand? From that verse, an evangelist will find a way to still tell you, are you saved? I'm just a singer. Ah, you have lost it. You are a reaper, not just a singer. You are sent into the field to reap where others have sown, so that both they that sowed and they that reap will rejoice together. That means that if we do not reap the harvest of what they have sown, they are not going to rejoice, because they will see that we wasted their labors. Somebody like John Huss. John Huss was burned to the stake because of his belief. He went to preach. They burnt him. Who burnt him? The Church of Rome, the Roman Catholics. Because of the words he was. And he stood by it, that Jesus only is Lord. Jesus only, Jesus ever is our message. So they tied him to the stake and burnt him. He refused to deny his faith and he died for it. Many people died for that cause. They sold for us. Some people came into Africa. They were seen as meat. They caught them, tied them and killed them, roasted them, and they were eating. Here in Nigeria, they sold their lives. The Bible says, for except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abideth alone. So let me tell you, you that are sitting down here tonight, a corn of wheat fell to the ground for you. Some people fell, they are in this Okoriko that we are. Don't think that we are the one that came to do this kind of work first. No. Your pastors in Ekwa or Baptist, they are not the first though. There were people that were missionaries who stayed in huts, houses that were made of mud, and this bacha, what do you call it? That stayed there. Every time they visit houses, I reminded them about their faith. They were not prayer warriors like us. They were not on fire like us. Only what they had was the message, I am born again. Some of them were still doing some things, but the missionary kept on encouraging them to keep their faith, following house by house. Every time, some of them would take only bicycle. There was no bike, there was no car, only their bicycle. Some of them had no bicycle, they would trek from one village to the other, leaving Zokoriko, going to Ligari, enter Jumono, enter Maskoro, enter Lehi, everywhere they were taking this word, coming back here and there to check their comforts. They were not having crowds like us, if it is a crowd. Even the people that sat down, do you know it doesn't especially what has to do with village people? On the day that even Sunday morning they go to farm, so the missionary will have to suffer. The missionary will suffer before he can even get people to sit down in church. If he spend more than 1 hour, they will start up and go to farm. At that time they were looking at it, they were doing him favor. But the missionary will kept continuing the work, kept on until he died. He finished his work, and all of us are here believing in the Lord Jesus Christ without argument. In those days, when they say Jesus is not, they'll say prove it. You will argue. But right now, because of the labors of our heroes past, you already believe that Jesus is Lord without an argument or debate. Is that not correct? Some people labor that. Prof posted something yesterday or this morning. He said it takes the power of God to truly convict a man who has a homosexual orientation in that place where he is in Scotland. When I saw it, I now reply and say, I say, you don't jump, you know. That means he has met with someone whose sexual orientation on homosexuality or whatever, he doesn't even believe in the Lordship of Jesus. How do you start convicting that person? But look at you here, sitting down, no argument. If you tell you Jesus is Lord, he says, it's true now. Is it new? We know it. You can even prove it to us. There were people that labored. We are just reapers. So let me tell you, Jesus said to them, lift up your eyes and look, for the harvest is white, the fields are ripe. Thrust in thy sickle and bring in harvest, for it is my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But if you don't wield your sickle, how can you get it? Now there are categories of evangelism. You may not do like the Abonke, who stomped nations, who stomped cities to cities. But you can do it one-on-one, follow door to door, door to door, as an evangelist, door to door. Go to this door. When was the last time you saw an evangelist coming to your doorpost? When was the last time you met somebody on the road doing the work of an evangelist? When was the last time you, as a Christian, did the work of an evangelist? You walk around only as a seeker, not knowing that the grace is upon you to evangelize. You move about, you just think that you are just a prayer warrior, but not knowing that it is upon you to go from door to door, from house to house. That was how evangelists Reagonke started. They did not start by gathering crusade ground. No, they started by following one person after another and convicting them of their salvation. We have lost a lot of things because many of us are competing to be apostles. Many of us are competing to be prophets. We are competing to be pastors. So we lack real, genuine evangelists. Everybody wants to have a ministry. My brother, you must not have a ministry as a ministry like this. No! Trust in thy sickle. Enter into the farms. Enter into the fields. There are souls waiting for you. Souls waiting for you. Why must you be dragging space with a pastor in the church? Why can't you? You are an evangelist in the church. You go out there, win the souls, send them back to church, go to the next mission field. If it is glory you are looking for, and who among the apostles in these days have more glory than evangelists? They are walking. No miracle. There was no miracle. Nothing in his crusade ground. All he stands to do on his podium is to preach. Repent and be converted, and your sins be forgiven. He preaches. He preaches the word, and men come in their millions. Evangelist Billy Graham was the most popular evangelist. Is still the most popular. Billy Graham became a household name. Everybody knows Billy Graham as an evangelist, but he was not even as popular because he took up his role as an evangelist. In 1946, he started his ministry work as an evangelist. By the end of the 1940s, he became popular in the whole world. nations after nations, nation after nations, doing the work of an evangelist. Till date, the only thing they have as a ministry is Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. That's all. For you, you want to have something we call Believers Resort International. You want to have something, and that's not your call at all. You are tracking space in a territory with somebody. All of us are sitting down here. We come church, then you go home. Nothing. Throughout the week, no soul came into the kingdom because of you. My sister, from January to now, how many souls came into the kingdom because of you? I mean, active evangelism, that you went out. I am out to win souls. That you were not sitting down, lying down. You were sleeping, and a body came upon you, and you went to the street. I know a crazy evangelist is Okoriko there. Sunday Maga, he was the one that won Alpha to Christ. When he won Alpha to Christ, he now brought him to me and said, I'm not going to be around, but take care of this soul for me. Do you understand the work of an evangelist now? You must not be the... I wish you understand. You can see I'm still mentioning his name, that he was the one that preached to this soul. And many of you that he has ministered to, if you know him, you can still remember that he preached to you once. Every time we meet, he makes me feel guilty. I do that too. Every day we set target. Him, his own is too much. You just say, 5 p.m. like this, say you will not sleep until he preaches to 10 people. He goes into the street, carries his Bible. Follow beer parlor. Sometimes I'll walk, I'll sit study, preaching in beer parlor, preaching in this canteen. So the work of an evangelist is to go into the field, bring the souls. Let the pastors do their work. Let work be done on them. After I finish my work, say I've sent it back to you. Right? When it was time, I sent him back. I said, go and meet. When it was time, the same Sunday marker, he called me. He said, I will need Alpha to join me in the work in Taraba. I said, no problem. Alpha, you can go. See, ministry is not to keep people. When your work is in their lives is over, send them out. What should Alpha be doing here? Are you getting the point? This is an evangelist. We already know it. He should go to the field. Maybe it's around here. See, you can organize crusade. You don't need. Let me tell you something. I'm not saying this stupid quest to be popular and activate ministry. No. You must not even do it around. Organize a crusade in Trikanya. If you don't want to organize, enter Trikanya, enter into the streets, preach to them, talk to them, minister to them. Day after day, come and enter Nasarawa, shout and cry. I remember when we used to, some of you remember that I came to your streets. Every morning we go to every street I carry from. We are going to preach. I will speak in English, you will interpret. I will preach in English, No, do I have a witness? Do you remember? Street by street we went. Preaching, doing the work of an evangelist. And this ministry is coming back again in doing the work of evangelism. Don't say that me and this and no. Every one of us has been given the ministry of what? Reconciliation. To reconcile men back to God. So I send you to go and reap where others have bestowed labor, where others have sown seeds. Go and harvest. You are a harvester. You are a reaper. An evangelist called Iketuku Peter. bases in Brazil, moves from place to place. Evangelist, a priest, AKK. These are mighty men in the evangelist. They are not ashamed to be evangelist. You see, you must not be a pastor. You must not be an apostle. The miracles that have you given, please, AKK. The miracles that is sometimes if I read them, I'll say, oh, but it's not a lie. But in my heart, I know it's true. But sometimes it looks so wrong. He will just say he entered a plane and he will look at a woman. And then he begin to talk to her. And then he will see a problem. See, evangelists work more in miracles, signs, and wonders. Word of knowledge and word of wisdom is sharp. Because they will need it if they are trying to preach to you. Remember how I said I used to go to Gamji. When I preach, when I if I'm talking to somebody and the person is not giving me attention, I switch to the word of knowledge or word of wisdom and begin to tell the person about himself or herself. And then the person will now be looking at me, how did you know? And I say, okay, calm down. Be instant, in season, and out of season. Preach. Preach the word. Preach the word. Souls. I know you are thinking about how to be popular, but my brother, you are not an evangelist. That is not the body of an evangelist. He doesn't care about popularity. He only cares about the number of people that will enter heaven. So you are sitting there every time you are on your phone, you are chatting, you are playing music, but your heart is not beating for souls. You are not thinking that your neighbor is about to go to hell. Your friend is about to go to hell. It's not in your mind. Rise up on your feet. This is a time to receive the body. Plant in me a hunger, not for fame.